Fwe, fwe, fwe. Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we're doing No Hard Feelings, which is a comedy romance that came out in 2023. Starring Jennifer Lawrence, who plays Maddie, Andrew Barth Feldman, who plays Percy, Matthew Broderick, plays Percy's father, Laird, Lara Benanti, plays Percy's mother, Allison. And then we have some extras. Natalie Morales plays Maddie's friend, Sarah, and Sarah's husband is played by Scott MacArthur. His name's Jim. And then we also have a minor character named Natalie, played by Amalia Yu. Yeah. So the summary of this one is that Maddie, a Montauk prostitute with daddy issues, whores herself out for an early 2000s Buick Regal in an effort to ward off the tax man with her Uber and bartending money.
Maddie is up till now an Uber driver and bartender, not sort of a prostitute.
It feels like a binary thing, though. Like, once you sell yourself once, then you are that thing, right?
Well, she hasn't done any prostitution yet.
So the intent doesn't make her a prostitute? Like, putting yourself out there for sale, like, you're looking to get into the game of prostitution, you're not yet a prostitute, or just being on the street?
I don't know when you be, but my point is that I don't think prostitute is, like, her main hustle.
So that's what she's looking to get into.
She's open to it, it seems
she's
like.
So,
sure. Okay. But yeah, most of the movie there's not a lot of. I mean, I guess the whole thing is about her one prostitution thing. Actually, I'm not. How long does this movie take place over? Do we know?
So the majority of the movie, you know, for like the first hour and a half, it feels like 2 or 3 weeks, and then you have like an 8 week to 10 week rest of the summer. That's just like a 1.5 minute montage of the movie.
Right, because they say it's June at the beginning, and then he's going to college at the end of the movie. So I guess it probably covers, like, those things. But yeah, I was never sure, like, how fast it was moving. Because it was, like, they sort of show you different, like, attempts at them dating. But it's not, but, like, a lot of it, I think, just happens, like, consecutively, I guess. Is how, what it felt like.
Yeah, like, night after night. I'd say the bulk of the movie takes place in, like, the first 2 weeks of them knowing each other.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah, the basic premise, like you were saying, is that his parents, Percy's parents, want him to be ready for college. So they post a Craigslist ad looking for someone to date him. And Jennifer Lawrence is the one that answers it.
And they're willing to give a Buick Regal. And her car just got towed because she didn't pay?
Because, yeah, I think she didn't pay her property taxes, maybe? I think that's, like, a big thing, is she hasn't paid her property taxes.
So now they're taking all of her possessions?
Yeah, they're repoing her stuff. And, yeah, so the thing is, her mom left her a house. She doesn't know her father, because her father was just a... like a vacationer on Montauk. Montauk, I guess, is a vacation destination in New York. Is that true?
Yeah. Is it an actual place?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought this, I sort of like assumed it was, I mean, I knew once they said the place, which they do pretty early, but like, I felt like the whole thing seemed like it was a California thing, but maybe it's just because they were like surfing and stuff. But yeah, this is a...
Oh, this is the east part of Long Island.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, so do you want to, we can start sort of, we sort of started with the premise, we can start at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
She's getting her car towed, and the guy from the bear is the cousin from the bear is the tow truck driver.
Yeah, Richie.
And then they, like, one of the things about this movie, so I like generally like this movie, but I kind of find it like frustrating in a way, because it feels like so much of it was like a missed opportunity. I feel okay. like this movie is known for like a couple scenes. I'm not sure how many people have watched it though, but I feel like, you know, there's a couple scenes that people, you know pretty well from it. And it's just like a lot of the other stuff just seems so strange that I'm sort of like confused by it. I mean, it's meant just to be a comedy. You said it was like a romance comedy. I think that's one of the issues that we'll get with, but it's not really a romance. Overall, I don't think. Like, it doesn't work as a romance, basically. Because the age difference of the people is too big. She's 32 and he's 18 or 19, maybe?
Yeah, 19.
So, yeah. I don't know. So they start off, like, they have a little bit with him, you know, she slept with him and she didn't call him again, I guess, or she blew him off. And this is like a recurring element throughout the movie. There's a bunch of guys around town that she slept with and then doesn't, you know, want to have a relationship with.
Maybe they didn't pay.
But like for reasons that aren't super clear, right? You know? Like it's, I don't know why. I mean, she just doesn't seem to like these particular guys, but like it's not clear why she, her main issue, like you said, is her father issues.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to have like this general opinion about men or whatever. She's just sort of seems, I mean, I guess it's the contrast with Percy's views about sex, which, you know, he wants to only sleep with someone he likes and knows well, and she'll just sleep with anybody, I guess, if she's like bored that day. But it doesn't like seem to matter, I guess. So I don't know. So yeah, she meets with the parents, right? And this scene is like, well, so first she discusses it with her friends, and her friends are Jimmy, I know him from the Mick, and he's good in that. I don't think his character makes any sense in this. And Natalie Morales, who is pregnant, and they're a couple. And they basically just tell her that this is a good idea. And like her, they have like a Native American lawyer friend, I think, who also thinks it's a good idea. And they frame it as, they're like, these people use us, so we should use them too. Like, sort of presenting this like prostitution scheme is like an empowering thing, which like I guess if that's what, but like the quandary of it wasn't that like, oh, I feel bad using these people, right? It was I don't know if I want to get into sex work, you know, to get my car back so I can become an Uber driver again.
It seemed like a logical next step for her, you know, now that we know who she is and like her history. It seems she's fucked everyone else on Montauk. I mean, it's fresh meat coming in, you know, from the big city.
Right, but like, okay, sure. But like, it doesn't feel like it's, they act like the like thing she needs to get over is that she would feel bad about it because she feels like she's taking advantage of these people, and they talk her out of that. But that's not like why I think most people don't get into prostitution, is because they feel bad for their customers. They feel like they're using their customers by, you know, prostituting. Like that, I don't know. I mean, I guess we don't know that many sex workers. So yeah, I don't know. That was strange. And they also, I made note of this. They have that conversation pretty much back to back. Right? Like, do you remember that?
Oh, you mean whenever she talks to Laird and then she goes and talks to her friends about it?
No, she talks to her friends at the bar. Right? So she's looking up the thing. She works at a bar and she gets into a fight with a customer, and then she's looking at the phone and she has the conversation about the ad with her friends, right?
Okay.
And then I think it's literally the next scene. They're all dressed in different clothes because they're not working at the bar anymore. Or they're not at the bar anymore. And it looks like it's in the morning. They're surfing.
Oh, yeah, they're doing their surfing.
They have the same conversation again.
Well, she, you know, was unresolved from the other day.
Like, but why make that two scenes? Isn't that like a strange choice to just have two back-to-back scenes with the same conversation?
I mean, what do they want? The passage of time to make it look like You know, she's not just jumping in. This is like a last resort for her. She'd prefer to not be a whore. Well, she is a whore. She'd prefer to not be a prostitute.
I mean, sure, but like, but like, I don't know. It's such a weird, like, so the editing in this movie in general feels pretty strange, but I think that was like one of the examples of it, was it just like, it wasn't clear why they had these two back to back. And I was thinking maybe one of them should have been split up, so it came after the interview scene, which is what comes next. Because then, like, she would have more information about it, and maybe she'd, like, want to reconsider. Maybe the fact that, like, date was, you know, meant, you know, she was supposed to fuck the kid would be, like, more explicit after she, which, you know, it is sort of more explicit after she interviews with them. So, but, like, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a very strange choice to have these two scenes back to back. I mean, apparently it wasn't that noticeable because you didn't remember it happened, but it's, I don't know, strange thing. So the interview scene, I guess, is like where it kind of gets off the rails for me. Because like this is one, have you ever seen Dungeons and Dragons? The new Dungeons and Dragons movie? There's a scene where they like have this spell that like wakes up dead people, and you can ask them like three questions, and they can be any three questions.
Okay.
And then they go back and die again. So they're like waking up a lot of skeletons. And it's like funny enough, right?
Isn't that the same premise as the TV show, like Raising Daisies or something?
Pushing Daisies?
Pushing Daisies?
I have no idea. I've never seen it. This is just like a random scene, and it's just like a D&D spell, I guess. So I it could be. But I don't know if that was the same thing as Pushing Daisies. But like, the, you know, it's a funny enough scene. But it's one of those things where like, because the premise is so wide open, it feels like the scene like really needs to hit the comedy well. Like, the expectations just need to be really high, because there's not, like, there's not really limitations on it. It can be anything. So, I feel like you sort of judge it on that basis. And this is a scene where, like, they're interviewing her, and it feels like they could ask anything, and they could just have, like, any kind of conversation. And it's, like, funny enough, but it's not, like, a knockout scene when it could be, because it's just, like, the most, you know, it's just, like, these people discussing this ridiculous premise, and it feels like it should hit a lot harder than it did. And I feel like it doesn't. Even though they got, like, Matthew Broderick, I mean, he's only in, like, five scenes, I think. Maybe even less. Like, this is his, like, main scene. There might be one other one near the end. But, like, him and the mother are not in that many scenes. And it feels like this should have been more of, like, a killer one, you know? And then it's kind of not, to me, I think.
It wasn't that impactful, I'd agree.
And then, so the framing of the kid, I think, is interesting, right? Because, you know, they're hiring this, you know, person because they say the kid doesn't drink and he doesn't drive and he doesn't have a lot of confidence. He won't play, he's a very good musician, he won't play in front of people, he got into Princeton, you know, and then we see a little montage of him. And he's sitting in his room, he's watching TikTok, he has a pet turtle, and he's playing games with his friends online, it seems like.
Yeah.
Or with some people online. So, like, the framing of the kid is that he's, like, a loser who doesn't drink or potty. Which, like, fine. He doesn't talk to girls either. But he's not gay. They say he's not gay because he watches some pretty graphic porn. Right?
Yeah.
Which is something we don't see. And also something that doesn't really fit with this character. Right? Like, does that fit the character at all?
A reclusive introvert? Yeah, sure.
No, but like, the character we see. Like, anytime we hear him talking about any kind of sexuality, he's like almost put off by it. He's like supposed to be sort of scared of it. I mean, you could have him do that, but that doesn't feel like what this character is, you know? I just said that was meant to be the joke. I think if you wanted that to be the line and you wanted that to be what this kid is, it should be like his expectations later when
yeah.
he does have sex should be like skewed by porn, or he should be like very weirded out by it, or like have some expectations driven by that, versus this one where he doesn't seem to be like, you know, doing anything really, right? Like, I don't know. He seems like more put off. He doesn't want, like, he wants to build a relationship with her. He's like, I don't know, very hesitant to do anything at any point.
Perhaps it's just because the mother is the one who says that it's graphic porn, right?
Yeah,
maybe it's,
I think
maybe
so.
It's more of a commentary on her. Maybe it's just like he watches some porn and she doesn't want him to watch any porn, so she's just put off by it. Maybe it says more about her than it does
I think they'd
him.
Like him watching porn, though. I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. It just seemed like a weird thing. She asked how they know if, you know, it, you know, if she slept with him with the honor system, and said, "Oh, we know his passcode." But what is he like logging it in his fucking, you know, Fitness Pal or whatever? Like, what is? I mean,
is he
like
a diary? I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, like I don't understand. I didn't understand what that was supposed to mean. Like, I'm sure, like, it could, like, you know, he'll text his friend or something, but they say he doesn't have friends, even though he does have a friend. Because as we go through the movie, we learn stuff about this kid, and, like, nothing the parents say seems to be true, which, like, could be a thing, but I don't think the movie, like, agrees with that, I guess. Right? Like, what do you think the movie thinks this kid is? Like, the parents could be wrong, but, like, are the parents supposed to be wrong?
And I don't think the parents are supposed to be wrong. I mean, they're
right.
Helicopter parents, right? They're all up in the kid's business.
Right,
they
show
know.
Them a picture next to a helicopter. The first picture we see is them standing next to a helicopter. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a weird characterization of this kid, who seems like a pretty, I don't know, normal-ish kid. Because we find out throughout the movie, he apparently is really good at school. He's a good musician. He volunteers at the animal shelter. He plays video games online with people. He has a friend from the animal shelter. There's this girl from school who likes him and invites him to parties, even though he hasn't seemed to like change very much at all. She just always seemed to like him. So yeah, it's just not really like clear what
why he needed the intervention from the parents.
Yeah, but like it seems like he did. Like when we get to the end of the movie, it seems like the intervention did help. Right?
Well, I mean, he was able to grow through the experience? Sure. Now, who's to say whether it was necessary? Like, just because it was successful in jump-starting and exposing him to dirt, you know, different things, doesn't mean that it was necessary. He probably could have just gotten there naturally, just going to college, you know? He had to come out of his shell, probably.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, the movie is like you'd think is taking a stance on this, like is this a good you know idea or not, right? Like you know are the parents supposed to be just like nuts and get their like very regular kid a prostitute in order to make him come out of his shell, even though he's just you know sort of a introverted kid who is perfectly normal, or is he like actually sort of you know needing this and it ends up helping them, even though you know it was like kind of a weird idea by his parents. And I don't know what the movie thinks by the end. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, she tries to get a dog, right? She comes on very strong the whole time.
Very strong. Herself at this kid.
Which I think is like, that's the thing about this kid. Like, why is the kid, it's like, why isn't the kid jumping at this, I guess? Like, she off-puts him. She you know, he seems to be very off-put by it. You know, but it's not clear why he's not into it, I guess.
Yeah, because his friend is super into it.
Yeah, like, immediately upon seeing her.
Yeah.
And he later says, you know, he thinks she's, you know, very beautiful. And she's wearing like a dress, like I don't know, she's like really trying to like go for it, but like yeah, I don't know, I'm sort of like trying to figure out like what this movie feels like, a collection of scenes in a lot of ways rather than like it had a cohesive characterization for either of these characters. And like I get that it's probably not supposed to matter that much, but I think it matters at least a little bit, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, after I saw this, right, because I think the two scenes you mentioned, well, you said scenes, this, you know, this movie's known for scenes. I'd say scene number one is probably, I mean, chronologically, whenever Jennifer Lawrence is, you know, naked, vertical suplexing people on the beach.
Yeah.
And then number two is whenever Andrew, well, Percy, plays the piano in the restaurant and sings the rendition of Man-Eater.
Those are the scenes I think people have seen from this movie.
Yeah, and I think that, like, after seeing this movie and after seeing the Man-Eater scene, I just had the question, like, you know, what came first? The rendition of Man-Eater on the piano or the movie? And they worked it in. Because I really think that somebody was just a fan of, you know, Hall & Oates Man-Eater, and they did it on the piano. And then they're like, can we make a movie out of this? What happens if, like, a really nerdy kid who created this piano piece needed to come out of a shell and, like, met a Man-Eater? Like, can we make a movie around this? I think that's how it probably came to be.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I get that. Like, sometimes, I mean, movies are just, like, you know, sometimes you have, like, a scene that's the payoff for your movie. And I think that one works really well. But it's almost undercut by all the other stuff. Like, it works, it almost works better in isolation because you sort of assume more about the relationship than what you're shown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, she is a Man-Eater, though, you know?
No, but, like, you, I mean, part of that scene is you see her start to feel really bad about this thing and about tricking him, and, you know, he's clearly developing feelings for her, which is, I guess, the thing the other guys have done in the past, and she didn't seem to care. Like, that, I mean, that's that scene, right? That's, like, you know, a lot of it's just looking at her. But it almost makes more sense if you haven't seen the movie, where it's sort of, like, undercut by a lot of her behavior throughout this whole thing.
I mean, isn't that her turning point? Isn't that her character arc? That's whenever she stops viewing him as, you know, a way to get back on her feet to get a car, and more like, oh, shit, gotta remember, this is a person.
Like, this kid's, yeah, no, I mean, that is, but I think that whole turn sort of works better if you just have summarized it right now, rather than you've seen this movie, and you're like, I don't know what her thoughts on, like, anything are, because they seem to vary from scene to scene. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't, you know, I just, like, I don't know what her characterization, like, is. Like, I guess she's, like, very mercenary, in terms of, obviously, becoming a, you know, prostitute. Like, he thinks, like, she's, like, you know, after the, after she gets a, she goes to the dog place to adopt a dog, like, he thinks she's kidnapping him. You know,
yeah, because she's coming on way too strong. She's borrowing the van from Jim, and it's got, like, spear fishing equipment in the back.
Yeah, it's got, it looks like it has, like, maybe lobster cages or something, too. You know, it looks, like, sort of scary-ish. And he, you know, he sort of, you know, she's sort of like, yeah, it seems like it's sort of weird she, like, can't adjust her, you know, thing at all to his thing. Like, she seems very surprised that, like, he's not just instantly into her. Which, like, fair enough, I guess. But, like, I don't know. Her, like, attitude is just, like, it seems like she's, like, wants to do this, but isn't trying that hard, I guess. Or just, like, isn't competent enough to seduce this, you know, 19-year-old. Because she just keeps, like, scaring the shit out of him. And on one hand, it's, like, a little strange that, you know, he's so scared and also gets in this car, but it's also, like, a little strange that she keeps acting this way. You know? I don't know. That's sort of, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what her, like, whole shtick is. Because, like, this is their first, I mean, this is the first time they meet, is, like, when they're driving in the car, and he pepper sprays her? Right?
Yeah, because he thinks she's kidnapping him?
Yeah. And she's like, I can't kidnap you, you're an adult. I mean, you can still abduct people. I get that, like, the point is, you know, that he's supposed to be an adult and he views himself as a kid, but she is, like, sort of an adult person, like, getting him in a car and driving him off when he's with his backpack and his bike. Like, I don't know, he's, like, just graduated high school. I think the idea that, like, he's too immature, it's, like, a little strange. That's, like, the thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like you're supposed to agree with her when she's just like, you're an adult, I can't kidnap you. But it does feel like, you know, because I think he mentions later, like, oh, we need to find an adult. She's like, you're an adult. So it seems like he views himself as a child, but he's also in some, like, perilous situations, you know, because he is sort of being abducted or taken against his will to her, because she drives to her house instead of his house. Like, I don't know. It's like, what are you supposed to think? And I think, you know, part of this movie is just, like, Jennifer Lawrence doing sort of physical comedy is, like, the idea.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of went from there. Which, like, I guess fine. But again, like, I don't know. The movie just feels so, like incohesive, I guess. Because it does just feel like a series of scenes of, like, her, like, you know, sort of being embarrassing and sort of being, like, you know, overtly sexual to this kid who's just not biting on it. But, like, it's not clear, like, why either of these people is doing what they're doing.
Well, like, so from Percy's perspective, right, he doesn't know that his parents have solicited a prostitute.
Right.
So he's just, you know, volunteering, and then this attractive woman, you know, what do you say, the most beautiful woman he's ever seen, comes in and starts throwing herself at him, but he's just, I don't know, he just doesn't interact with women enough and can't hold a conversation. But we know that's not true because he can hold a conversation with Natalie. And then, you know, later on, he manages to get Natalie in bed in, like, I don't know, 15 seconds?
Yeah, is the point supposed to be that he's, like, been changed?
By then? Maybe. Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it is, but that is, like, later, so I'm, like, trying to give the movie some credit.
Well, I think this is all within a span of 2 weeks, and I don't think somebody could change that considerably in 2 weeks. So, I'd say no. I don't think he's supposed to have changed that significantly.
Right, like, I don't think it's supposed to be successful like, by then.
Maybe it's just that he was drinking for the first time, and before that he hadn't drunk, right?
So, well, it, or he and drank. She sees him play, you know, the piano out in public, and I think that's sort of when he gets invited to the party. So maybe the idea is that, like, Jennifer Lawrence pushed him to play out in public, and then he's, like, showing other people his talent, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to give the movie as much credit as possible, because I have, like, issues with the movie, but, like, you know, I don't want to, like, be overly harsh to the movie. Because it's sort of like, yeah, again, I'm trying to, like, figure out what the movie thinks is happening, right? Because, yeah, I mean, it does seem like the kid has friends and hobbies, does volunteer work, does well in school, has some talent for music, like, I don't know, adopts dogs, like, I guess he doesn't drink or drive. But, like, he rides his bike to school and to work. It's not like he needs, it's not like, it'd be sort of different if his, like, mother was driving him around, I guess. I wonder if that would have been, like, a different thing they could have done.
Oh, yeah, that would have made him more immature, rather than just biking to work.
Yeah, it just seemed like, he seems self-sufficient, like, yeah, he, like, I guess, is it work, or he has a job, or he has a job, or he does volunteer work, like, either way, it seems like he's doing, you know, something, like, and again, he seems to have friends, like, he has a friend from the work, he seems to play with people online, he, you know, knows this girl who he's talked to before, you know, so, like, the characterization of him, you know, of stuff that happened before the movie seems like it's, you know, not a, it doesn't match up with the parents' perception. Oh, but, like, then half the movie seems to think that the parents' perception is accurate, you know?
Mm.
I mean, I guess they try to, like, make him seem like a child because he doesn't know that, like, a Long Island iced tea is alcoholic or whatever. But he's... I mean, he's not supposed to be drink. I guess he's 19. Like, I guess he can drink. But he's been in high school. And, you know, he lives with his parents. So it's like, what is he... And also, they're here for the summer, right? Or do they live here?
No, they're just there for the summer. But maybe they rent the same place every summer. I don't know. Because, if they're there for the summer and it's June, they haven't been there that long. Is he already at the animal clinic with a friend in Montauk?
Right, that's what I was thinking. Like, because he has a job. He's doing his backpack. So it seems like, is he still going to school? Or is he just bringing that to work? Could be.
I think he's just bringing that to work. No, I think his family just vacations to Montauk in the summer.
Right. Yeah, that could be it. That seems to be like their summer house. Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, and then I don't know. They have the scene. The next scene is like they're at the bar, and they start talking about Harley Quinn, and it seems like he's like telling, like, she asks him if he ever has intense dreams. And he describes the scene with Harley Quinn, which makes it seem like he is sort of going to describe some sort of, like, porned up, like, you know, fantasy. It actually seems like it might come back later, because it says she came in and I wouldn't let her get a dog and she locked me in the cage. It seems like he's talking about her, right?
Yeah.
And then later, and then she's like, oh, this is a sex dream. And he's like, oh, it wasn't a sex dream. But, like, it sounded like it might have been, sort of. You know?
Had all the necessary parts.
Yeah. And then this is where we hear about Maneater, because he's like, it's about a monster, a Maneater. And it's like, you know?
And he used to scare him as a child.
Yeah.
Like, just listening to the song.
Like, I think that's, like, a fine payoff for the setup, but, like, the setup is so weird. It's like, do you ever have, like, what is his level of, like, sexuality? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't get. It seems like he's, like, really chaste in this for some reason. But, like, he's not supposed to be. Or, like, he's not sometimes. Because, again, he listens or watches a lot of graphic porn. And he, like, has some awareness. And now, he's trying to learn how to drink. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm just trying to figure out, like, where the movie thinks he is at any given point in time. You know? She, like, forces him to drink. This is like, one of those movies, too, where I think people have made the comment, but, like, if you reverse the genders, it would be funny, because the movie would seem, like, incredibly unhinged. You know? And, like, you sort of get why it's different, I guess, but it's like, if someone's parents hired a 32-year-old man to try to sleep with their 19-year-old daughter, it's like everyone would just be in jail at the end. Is like how it should go. And then, yeah, they meet up with, like, another one of her conquests, I guess. Who she doesn't like. And all these guys do seem like losers, but she's also just kind of, like, mean to everybody. Like, I don't know what her whole shtick is. You know, she doesn't seem to like the out of towners, she doesn't like the locals, you know.
Yeah,
like,
she just hates everyone.
She doesn't like the, like, she, you know, insults the waitress, who, like, insults her back, you know. Apparently all these guys come on too strong.
Despite having a job and a fully paid off house, she still can't afford her house.
Yeah. From so, just bartending, she needs to be an Uber driver, because bartending doesn't pay her bills, you know.
Yeah, I think maybe she's just unemployed from September through May. Is that what it is?
And the bills
just pile up?
And that's why she needs to be an Uber driver? Maybe. And, like, there's parts of this movie that I think are, like, actually funny. Like, when they're in the bar and the guy's like, she's like, oh, it doesn't seem like you like the guy. And she's like, do you like him? And he's like, no, but, like, I didn't have sex with him. And she's like, oh, do you want to? I'll call him back. Like, Jennifer Lawrence, I think, performs a lot of the comedy really well, which is why it's, like, I feel like it's undercut by the rest of the movie. Like, she can clearly do this movie, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I'm just, like, trying to figure out, like, where you know, where they're going. Like, they go down to the beach, and she says she's drunk. Like, and he's like, you've been drinking a lot? It's like, yeah, okay. And he's like, I guess he's like supposed to be like a rule follower, because he's like I don't know, like, because it seems like he doesn't want her, he doesn't like her, right? Like, she's like scary and weird to him.
She's intimidating.
But then he agrees to go on a date with her, and then he goes to the beach with her, but then doesn't want to be there because there's no lifeguards or something, or the beach is closed. And he keeps like referencing these things. It's like, I don't know, what does he want in that scene? You know what I mean?
Like, you mean when they get onto the beach? I think he wants to leave with her to maybe go somewhere they're allowed to be.
Does he, though? Is that he wanted to leave the bar because he didn't like being in the bar for some reason. I guess because he doesn't like drinking. But then he goes to the beach. He doesn't like not being allowed to be at the beach. But does he want, like, is he just trying to get, like, it's not like if he just said, because she wants to sleep with him, right?
Yeah, so, he could literally say whatever, and she would be like, yep, I'm down. So if he just said, I want to go back to my room and maybe, like, play some video games, and then we can hang out there, she'd probably be like, yep.
Or if, maybe, if he was like, we could go back to, I think they end up back at her place at some point at the end of this night. I think this is like, a lot of this like middle part of the movie is like, I think part of this very long first date they have. But it's just like, at any point, she's like fully committed to sleeping with him. And this is the scene where he tells her like, she's the prettiest person he's ever seen. So it's like, I don't understand how it's so difficult for these two people to fuck each other. Like, does he think she's very pretty, but doesn't want to fuck her right now?
Doesn't know how to make the first move.
He doesn't have to make the first 50 moves. She's making all the moves. She literally takes off her clothes on the beach, you know, and keeps saying, like, I don't know. This would be out of place in graphic porn, I feel like. This level of, like, she's like, am I pretty here? And then takes off her pants and says, pretty here? It's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? And then I feel like he does the comedy. Like, I feel like they both are like good actors in this, but I just like, what is the character doing?
His character's supposed to be helpless. Like, she's hitting him over the head with herself, you know, throwing herself at him, and he still can't close the deal. Like, it just feeds into his helplessness.
But like, she can't close the deal.
That's true, yeah.
It's not clear if he wants to close. That's the thing. It's like, she's unable to fuck him. Like, we're in, from her perspective, she's the protagonist. We know that it's her mission to sleep with this not child, I guess. Legally not a child. You know, for legal reasons. and this is like the scene where, like, the drunk teenagers are here, and they, like, steal these people's clothes.
Yeah.
As they like sort of taunt them, and this is like kind of a weird scene. I mean, you know, for a few reasons, they like steal the people's clothes,
which is weird.
Yeah, because like, and then so she like the editing like does a lot of work in some of these scenes because it requires these people to like teleport around. You know, he says we need to find an adult. She says you're an adult, not like we're adults, but I guess you're an adult works better comedically. But yeah. Like. You know, I guess his issue is that, like, he keeps being put in, like, situations where, like, I don't know, if you're, like, he's a small kid, you know what I mean? If you're in the water naked and, you know, with a woman, and then two guys and a girl come and steal your clothes on the beach, like, that's not, like, a normal situation for you to have to deal with. So it's not like he can't deal with, like, getting his pants on in the morning. It's like he's now like naked in the water at night with a naked woman. There's two guys, you know, who have stolen his clothes. And then, you know, then we see her like cut and she sort of emerges from the water. And this is like, you know, a pretty well known scene is her just like, you know, pocket sanding these people and then beating them up. And like, it's weird because he stays in the water this whole time.
Right? Like, yeah, he never gets out.
He's in the water this whole time. Like, that she is just having, like, a fight with these three people. He just stays there and does nothing.
But she, not like, only that, he doesn't seem to see what well, that's she the did
other
with
thing.
Them.
That's the other thing. Like, they knew the people were stealing the clothes. She walked all this way. They could, the kids in the water, the kids on the beach could clearly see them in the water.
Yeah.
But he, like, because at the end, he's like, did you just beat up those kids? And it's like, are you serious? This naked woman had her clothes stolen and went and got it back from these kids. And you just sat there watching or not watching. And it's like, he's like mad at her about what happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, oh my God, did you just fight those kids? It's like, they were literally stealing the clothes from her. She's like a naked, vulnerable woman in the water. Like, what are we talking about? And then she swims back out to him and says, what happened over there? She says, I got our clothes back. And he goes, did you beat up those kids? It's like, what the hell do you think? What were you doing this whole time? When she swam all that way in, where apparently you, out of visual range. I don't think he wears glasses in this movie, right?
No, he doesn't.
Like, at the end, it should, like, say he doesn't drive because he's legally blind. Like,
yeah, I'm not sure. And I think visibility, like, if you're in the water, you can probably see what's going on the beach more so than if you're on the beach, can see what's going on in the water.
Yeah, you're close to the lights. In the water, they, like, they just have their heads above water. It's, like, not that much to say. And she's trying to, like, fuck him in the ocean. And he's really put off. Like, now I kind of understand, like, but, like, I don't understand his behavior in this. And he says, it's like you're trying to eat me. It's like, you know, I'm not going to have sex with somebody I don't know. And she says, it's better that way, trust me. And he says, not for me. Okay, sure. Like, that's the thing. But, like, his behavior in this scene is just, like, bad. Like, that's the thing. If you saw this scene where she just, like, goes and fights these kids, like, that's a funny scene. Like, and you're like, oh, okay, like, I sort of get it. But then you watch it in the context, and you're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, Why do they bother with this scene? You know what I mean? Like, what was it supposed to be? And now all of a sudden he's upset that he's naked and wants his clothes back, and she won't give it to him. Or she doesn't give it to him, but it won't give him his phone, maybe? Which his parents track, I guess. That's like one of the other things that they talk about. Is his parents always tracking his phone? Which seems like a thing his parents do, not a thing he does. Like, I don't know. It's used as, like, to characterize him. And now all of a sudden he's like a man of action because he, like, jumps on the car and wants his phone back. A second ago when people were stealing his phone and the clothes and her clothes.
He didn't give a shit.
He was like, I don't know what to do. But now it's just like, this lady's taking his clothes. Or his phone, I guess, because she gave him back his clothes. You know, he, like, really needs it. It doesn't seem like he's obsessed with his phone, though. Other than this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it's weird that he, like, needs his phone back desperately.
Maybe and then he needs to go on TikTok and watch some graphic porn. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. I mean, those are separate things that he's doing. He watches graphic porn and goes on TikTok and just watches. It sort of, like, it feels like when you see, like, you do see him watch, like, two girls do, like, a little TikTok dance. You sort of thought it would be, like, either, like, more sexual. Be like, he just, like, scrolls and looks at these girls all day, but doesn't. But it's just like, it's sort of like a very quick thing of him just watching it, like one set of people do TikTok. It's not like, I don't know. You don't get like anything about his character. But then after this, after like, so he's on the hood of the car, she's driving around, she like drives through the thing, and now he goes back to her house now? Right? Like, he's like impressed by this or something? Like, what's happening here? He didn't like her because she was coming on too strong. Then she stole his phone. Then he jumps on the car. Then she outruns the cops by driving over a train thing. And now he's, like, kind of into her?
I guess it's, you know, converted thrill into lust.
I guess.
Maybe it was such an exciting experience. He's just like, oh, you know what? This does make sense. I do have feelings for you.
Yeah. Does it make sense, though?
I mean, not really, but I don't know. I'm not going to be hypercritical of it.
Like a little bit critical of it. Like, he goes back to her house. He says, I have really strong hands from piano lessons, which, like, fair enough. I don't know why he says hands. It feels like he should say fingers. I think he says hands, though.
Yeah, I forget.
You know? But he's like excited that they outran the cops or whatever. But then like I'm trying to figure out. He says that he likes the house.
Yeah, maybe he's on a high. Maybe after jumping on the hood of a car and, you know, surviving death and avoiding the police, he's just like, oh my gosh, I'm thrilled right now. And I forgive you for doing all that insane shit you just did on the beach.
Is that what's happening though?
It must be.
But that's my thing with like the characterization of these characters and their relationship scene to scene makes so little sense. You know?
Well, at that point, like she was driving away because, you know, he was so hopeless, despite throwing herself at him, she was never gonna be able to have sex with him. Right? So she was thrown in the towel at that point. And then he has a, you know, realization. He's like, oh my god, wait a second. If I just like quit being a huge bitch and actually let this happen, you know, then I might be able to have sex with this lady.
But
right?
Like he could have sex with her at any time though.
So he wants to, but he doesn't know how to. I think is his characterization.
Yeah, but like
he doesn't know how to make the first move. He doesn't know how to.
She's coming
her
on
moves.
So strong that like he's has to, but he's like it's not like he's not picking up on stuff. It's like he's actively rejecting every move. Okay, and also yeah, he says I have pretty strong hands from piano lessons. And interestingly, she's in the background of that shot, and then it seems like she's in the bathroom again. Unless that's supposed to be the same area of the house. I guess maybe she's like lighting lights. I don't know. The editing is a little unclear. And then he like sees her bra and gets a little like weird about it. But it's not the same bra she was wearing earlier. And then, yeah, I don't know. She like lends him clothes. I don't know. It's like this, I think that's supposed to be funnier. And then she just starts like dancing. And he's like confused by it, even though she's just like on the floor shaking her ass. And then now he's into her sexually, I guess, you know, because he's just smacking her ass as she like wiggles on the, okay, that's supposed to be the fun. Then he kicks her. Like, I don't know. It's like, what is he feeling? He was afraid of her before, and now he's in her house. She like comes out of the bathroom and starts like writhing around on the ground. And now he's into it. She like gives him a lap dance, and now he's like not into it again. Like moment to moment, I just don't understand. Like, does he want to have sex with her?
I think he does. He just doesn't know how.
He says, "You're a little heavy on my legs," and then she says, "You want to switch?" And then she puts him on her lap, and he just sits there like a child, and she bounces him. it's like, what are these characters trying to do? And he's like, "Do you want to go to the bedroom?" And she's like, "He's like, yeah." And this was after she said earlier, oh, the bedroom's the best part. I'd like to see it. How did she not make a comment about his strong hands, which should have been strong fingers? You know what I mean? How is that not one of the lines? Was that cut?
What do you think the comment should have been?
I don't know. I'd like to see that. She could have said any number of things, right? Like, she says everything else. When he mentions the bed, she mentions the bedroom and says, like, she's just doing, like, I don't know, overt sexual innuendo all the time. But then they have a random scene where he says, I have strong hands from piano lessons. And the thing seems to be a setup for putting on music instead of her making another comment or whatever.
Mm.
I don't know. And we already know he does piano because they said that earlier. So it's, I guess maybe we need to be reminded of that. But I don't know. My thing is just like, what is, you know, what is happening? Yeah, you know?
Well, it's all for naught because he has a rash. Is that right?
Yeah, he has like a stress rash or something. And she puts the board cream on him, board rash cream from surfing.
So she fails at her mission.
Yeah, I guess. Because then he starts saying he barely leaves his room. And, you know, they talk about this... like how she doesn't leave the house was because she's waiting for her father. I guess we find out later she's waiting for her father to return, who was just a one night stand of the mother. Like, that's her, like, central issue throughout the movie, I guess. Like, we know very little about her character, it feels like, throughout this movie. Other than the, you know, other than, I guess, the needs money for the Uber or whatever.
Yeah, she's unhinged. She's bad with money.
She's unhinged. Yeah, I don't know if we necessarily know that about the movie.
Hates, I mean, everyone.
Hates, yeah, doesn't like anyone.
Big whore.
New to sex work.
trying to get into it. It's crazy. I mean, for how many people around town she's successfully fucked without getting paid, now she's just, like, terrible at getting paid to fuck somebody. You'd think she'd be a natural at it. But no, this kid just can't have it.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know, like, it's weird how little we know about her character, given that she's the main character of the movie. You know, like, because, like, what, like, I don't know, it feels like her journey should be, it's sort of about his growing up. Like, she's the catalyst for that, but we're seeing it from his, her point of view.
You know? Sure.
But, like, it also should be about her resolving her father issue, but that's introduced so late. Or her ability to leave Montauk.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's supposed to add to the intrigue. You're supposed to have questions about, you know, who is Maddie? And then it comes together later on. And you're like, oh, maybe the reason she's so bitter and has so many issues with men is because her father left her? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that makes some amount of sense. But it feels like we should get a better idea of, like, her views at the beginning, I feel like. Because we don't find out this dad thing until, I guess, about halfway through. Like, we really find out about her dad. And it's like, but it's very secondary to his whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're doing some kind of, like, rash cream thing, which is, I guess, you know, a thing. And now they're bonding, right? He's telling her all about how he's, like, a, you know, loser at school or whatever, because there were rumors he slept in his parents' room, whatever. And then he apologizes for not having sex with her, because he's a bit romantic. It's, like, it's sort of interesting. We get this twice, basically, right? Basically, the idea that he can't, like, for her to sleep with him, like, because, like, we're seeing this movie from her point of view, right?
Yep.
So the obstacle for her is she needs to sleep with him, or that's, like, the goal. In order to do that, she needs to romance him, right? And we get that at the beginning when he says, you know, I'm not going to have sex with someone I don't know. And then we get it again where he's like, I'm just a romantic. And then says, maybe we can go out again tomorrow. And then says, I promise I'll put out. I think if I ever return to filmmaking, making a gender swapped version of this, I think would be hilarious because it'd be insane. And then they appear to go out on, like, I think it's just one day of dates. It's just sort of like a date montage where it's like, go and hang out. It's funny the things they hang out are like, washing the dog, playing laser tag, and playing in an arcade. So, like, for him to be, like, childish, it's like, then that's most of what he does. They're literally playing with children, and then walking these rescue dogs. And, like, she, you know, is mean to the children at the arcade and shit. Which is, you know, fun, or whatever, but then they, like, you know, get thrown out of the arcade. But they appear to have, like, a good day together, you know? Like, they're having fun. They like each other.
Yeah. Getting to know you. Yeah.
And he gives her, like, some kind of beer-drinking hat. I don't know. So, like, yeah, the individual, like, level things are, like, like, again, the moments of this movie, like, I think generally work. It's just, like, so hard to put it together. Like, he has, like, a little finger trap that she doesn't like because she doesn't like the idea of being stuck with people. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? And yeah. He's like, stop pulling away. We need to push in. So, like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, not, it's not like a subtle movie. I just, like, don't think it makes, like, any sense for a lot of it, you know? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it is insane. You don't have to make it into a, you know, reverse, you know, gender movie. It's already insane.
No, but, like, I feel like it doesn't feel that threatening, you know?
Yeah, it would definitely be more insane, but it doesn't change the fact that this movie is insane. Like, the premise is insanity. But again, I mean, they had this song, they had this rendition of Maneater, and they were like, how can we make a movie out of this?
Yeah. But, like, you could have done this, I mean, you could have got there in a lot of different ways, I feel like. It just feels like some of these scenes are out of order. You know what I mean? And, like, I guess her father gave her mother the money in the house as, like, a in lieu of child support. So they really, like, I don't know. It seems like she's, like, very well set up here for her to be, like, so angry at the rich people.
And still can't make it work.
Yeah. Like, she's, like, sort of in dire financial straits, although she has, like, a free house, which apparently is very valuable, because people keep trying to buy it from her throughout the movie. There's, like, a couple times where, like, a real estate agent is trying to buy it, and she refuses to sell it because she doesn't want to move because she's waiting for her father to come back, I guess. Although she's, again, she's, like, 32. You know what I mean? I think is what they state. Her, like, daddy issues are, you know, a little bit strange at this point.
Yeah,
because again, she is the movie. I think, like, wants you to occasionally, like, forget how old she is, especially when, you know, anytime they're doing something sexual, it's like she's old enough for comedy, but young enough for it not to be, you know, really weird. Oh, and then one other thing. I mean, I have a bunch of other things, but there's he has a nanny named Jody that is in this movie, who I think is played by Kyle Mooney.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And it's supposed to be weird that it's, like, a male nanny. This guy, but this guy's in this movie for, I think, two scenes.
Two scenes, yep.
And I don't think either of them are funny. The second one actually, like, makes no sense at all.
Yes.
This is really his only scene. And it's just, like, I guess makes the kid look childish again.
Yeah, it makes him kind of look like a puppy.
This is, like, after they just kissed, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like anything. You know, he's, like, mad at her as if, like, she came along out of nowhere, but she was hired by his parents. So it seems like, I don't know, it's, and she, I don't know, she, like, make fun of him, and they make fun of each other, I guess, but, like, it's like, I don't know why this scene is here. You know what I mean? It's just so she can make, like, male nanny jokes. And this movie was, like, made relatively recently. Like, I don't think that's really, like, you know, this was 2023, so I guess 2 years ago now. But it just doesn't seem that, like, it doesn't seem like you need that at all, you know? Like, what was that scene for?
I'm not sure, because he doesn't pop up in a meaningful way later on.
No, he pops up in, like, a weird, unmeaningful way. It seemed like you should just cut both those scenes, and it's, like, a better edit. Because he adds nothing, we get nothing about her, like, we don't find out anything more about the character. He, like, asserts that she's after his parents' money, which I guess she is, but, you know, it doesn't matter. We see the letter her father left. She makes, like, a little mobile. She makes a mobile for her friends who, like, really seem to hate it.
Even though they're surfers and they're having a baby?
Yeah, it actually seems, like, pretty nice. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll make sure to hang this up. And I guess, like, sometimes, you know, you have friends and you give them stuff for their baby and they act like their baby is, like, too good for whatever you give them. So, like, that's,
is that,
I guess,
right? I don't have any experience with that.
That does sort of ring true, I guess. Like, they act like whatever their baby's going to shit on is just, like, you know, needs to be of the highest quality, and like they can't have, you know, extra stuff, you know, because it's
gotta
not like
be more stimulating than the surfboards hanging.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Hasan Minhaj is like the real estate agent who tries to buy your house or sell her house. She wants to sell her house. And I guess he slept with his teacher. Right? And then they got married when she got out of prison. So that's another element of this movie. But like it seems like very comfortable with these type of relationships, I guess.
So did we learn later on that the age difference between them was 40 years? So this is presumably a 58-year-old Spanish teacher.
Oh, really? Did they say that later on? I don't think I caught that.
Yeah. And then, so she goes to jail, and I don't know, 5 or 10 years later, you know, she's in her late 60s, and then they get married, and that's Hasan Minhaj's wife?
I guess, yeah. I mean, again, it's all just like a joke, because he's supposed to be, you know, he's the real estate agent. We're just establishing that people want to sell her house, because that's going to come back later. But, you know, doesn't really matter. So then they go on a date. We see the kid, like, suiting up. I mean...
Oh, is this the prom?
Yeah, this is when they go to prom.
Yeah, so neither of them went to prom, so...
Right, he didn't get asked. And she got asked by everybody, including her teacher. It's interesting that they mentioned, like, she said, like, teachers asked me. Like, she probably said it as a joke. It feels like he should have, like, commented on that. And then we have a kid who slept with his teacher, like, moments later. And it's weird there's, like, never any connection between those two things. Because it's supposed to be, like, weird that he slept with the teacher, but then she just mentioned that, like, teachers asked her to prom. So it's like we got basically the same thing back-to-back, because it was our back-to-back scenes. So, yeah, they go to a little prom, and they're just going out to a restaurant, right? I mean, they're not going to a... They should go to a high school dance or something. I mean, I guess they go to a high school party afterwards, right? Yeah, I guess school is out, right? Sort of. Yeah, I guess school's out. I'm surprised they didn't have, like... I think it would have been funny if they... I wonder if this was cut. They didn't have, like, her friends, like, have them do, like, the stereotypical prom pictures or anything. You know, because they just start off, like, you see them getting dressed, and then they're in a limo. I wonder if it was a scene where they're doing, like, the, you know, the prom pictures. And the guy, maybe the guy with his, like, pregnant wife or something, you know? That would have been something. Feels like that could have been a thing. And yeah, then they go out and they... he says he didn't ask any of the prom. I guess that makes sense. You know, I guess like now we're getting the characterization. He like wanted to stay invisible at school, he says. Because I guess people made fun of him. And I feel like this should have come like earlier almost. Right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any harm in, you know, being forthright with that.
Well, I mean, I think, like, his, like, wanting to stay invisible should have come earlier, and then this is, like, the... Because he's like, oh, I wanted to stay invisible, and then she's like, make a big public spectacle of yourself, you know? And, like, this is the restaurant, this is the man-eater scene, right? And I think they both play it really well. Like, the whole conversation is just funny, his, like, back and forth, her, like, pretending to do the toast, like... I think this, I mean, this is the best scene in the movie, right? This is the one everyone's seen. And like you said, like, I think if you just saw this scene, you'd be like, oh, this is like a much better movie than it ends up being.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, I love the music. I think is really well done. And I think, she, you know, she, they both act the scene really well. So, you know, fair enough. And then, yeah, it is just like a 5-minute scene of him playing Manny. You know, and I think he's a Broadway kid. I think he was one of the Evan Hansens.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what he's from. I don't think he's in many movies before this. So, we see Natalie. I think she's also going to Princeton. Maybe they were high school classmates also. You know?
Who also vacations to Montauk?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Or maybe for prom, you know, they went closer to the city? I don't know.
Oh, could have been that too. But then, yeah, she invites them. I think it's in Montauk. Because she invites them to, like, a party afterwards. It feels like she's kind of rude in this, too. She's, like, inviting him to a... but like, I don't know, they're like being sort of rude to Jennifer Lawrence, who she's out having dinner with, and it's like, are you friends with his parents? Like, I get like they're supposed to like all think she's like cartoonishly old, but like, why like, I guess there'd be a stranger question if she was a grown woman wearing like a nice dress who was friends with his parents who took him out for a date. That, I mean, that is sort of what's happening, but it'd be a very weird thing for this lady to be comfortable with, you know? But that is what's happening. And she invites just him to the party. Like, again, this is all, you know, quite rude, I think. And then, you know, they do that. So.
Yeah.
Then they get into a fight, right? Because, he's talking about how he's going to come visit her. And I guess they really haven't discussed, again, how long had they been together at this point? I mean,
I think just, you know, a week or two.
To be together, right? And she's,
I mean, we've seen three distinct dates, right?
I mean, we see the swimming one, the basket, the arcade one, and then this farm one, right?
Yes.
Those are the three? Yeah. And I think one was literally the night after. So, like, two were back-to-back. Because he says, do you want to hang out tomorrow? So, yeah, who knows? But it's, like, it's not a lot. So he's, like, he's getting very attached now. And says, I don't know what you want. And that's, like, fair, because I also don't know. she says she just wants to have fun. But, like, again, I don't know what either of these, like, she still just wants to sleep with him, although she feels bad now. Like, you sort of like, I feel like, turn on him a little bit, because he's being a little like immature, because like he is going away and there are some logistical, how old does he think she is too? Is, does he know how old she is?
I mean to him, I don't know that it matters, right?
It feels like it,
this is like
of
the
matters.
First girl that, I mean, no, Natalie is showing interest. But yeah, I guess no female in his life up until this point has shown this level of interest.
No, I know, but like when he starts talking about having like a long-term relationship, you know, like, does he think she's 32 at this point? And is just like, still thinks, you know, he's going to visit her when he's at college?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah. He's a bit naive. He's got to break out of his shell.
Right, he's coming out of his shell. He needs someone to date him hard. So, like, he's at a... he goes to, like, the Princeton party.
Yeah.
And they basically do the 21 Jump Street thing. Do you remember that?
Where she's walking around the party, and everyone's like, how the fuck are you here? You're so old.
Well, that, and also, like, everyone's sort of, like, anti-bullying... She asks, like, if the guys are going to, like, kiss each other or something. And they're like, what's wrong with that? Like, don't be homophobic. Whatever. And it's, like, it's weird because, like, 21 Jump Street came out many years ago and did this, like, same exact bit of, like, an old person being at a high school party and just, like, not being with the times in terms of, like, you know, the high school kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Although these kids are supposed to be, like, stupid assholes. I mean, they're filming a lot of, like, whatever, but it's also strange because like he talks about how he was bullied at school, and then you have like all these anti-bullying teens.
How was he the one kid that was bullied?
Yeah, well, yeah, the kid's literally doing like an anti-bullying PSA on his TikTok or whatever, and then he's talking about how he got bullied at school, and then this like some guy goes like, hey mommy, how old are you? And then the guy says, you're old as fuck. And then they're like, oh, he loves cougars. And then she's like, oh, why don't you big cats fuck each other? And like, that's where they draw the line, is like, she told them to go fuck each other after they called her a cougar and said she wanted to fuck them. You know? It's like, what's the thing here? You know what I mean? Like, that like, apparently it's just the homophobic thing and then everyone's recording her. It's like, it's like, this was supposed to be like the anti-bullying teens, but they don't fall through from even moment to moment.
Well, so this is a Princeton party, right? This isn't just like your normal Montauk party. So this is presumably a lot of the elites from Long Island or New York City who are vacationing in Montauk for the summer. And, you know, this is all the kids that are going to Princeton. So maybe, like, these kids were all bullied from their respective schools, and the reason they're, you know, similar is because they're all anti-bullying, and they all maybe come from shitty schools.
But,
I don't
know. They're not really anti-bullying. I mean, but it's weird for them to also make, like, overt sexual advantage to say, like, yo, mommy, how old are you? And then say, I like cougars. And then be all, like, pearl clutchy 2 seconds later. You know what I mean? For these to be literally the same kids. You know?
I just don't know how to, you know, make moves on women.
I mean, but
common
they,
theme with Princeton,
but they are,
you know.
But they are making, like, very overt moves. That's, like, what I'm confused about. It's like, they're fucking,
they just
like...
do it poorly.
I guess, but then they get mad that, like, you know, she tells them to go fuck each other, which they view as, like, homophobic, but it's just like, they were just sexually harassing her 2 seconds ago. You know?
I mean, the thing that confuses me about that whole scene is they leave the prom, and then he goes to the Princeton party. And, like, before he left the restaurant, Natalie was at the restaurant with her family,
yeah.
Right? She wasn't on her way out. She left the table with her parents to come over and say hello to Percy, right?
Yeah.
But then 30 seconds after she goes back to her table with her parents, Percy's like, I got to get out of here. I want to leave. Take me to this Princeton party that Natalie just mentioned. So they somehow arrive at the party after Natalie? I didn't get that
because,
one.
Because, I mean, the point of what you're saying is she has, like, this little 10-second argument with... Does she just, like, sit in the car for a little while? Because she ends up going in the house, finding out that... Getting into this argument with these kids, which takes 12 seconds. Like, this is... We see her walk into the house and have this whole thing. Then she goes upstairs, knocks on a few bedrooms, finds out he's in a bedroom with Natalie, and he apparently took some pills, is what she thinks, and he had been drinking. But yeah, like, somehow he's already gotten this girl into bed. I mean, they're all, both fully clothed still. Or I guess he's not wearing a shirt, but they both appear to be wearing their clothes. And they,
I just don't know how Natalie made it to the party before them. They literally left the restaurant, like,
immediately,
a minute after.
Unless she also had a fight with her parents and needed to go to the party immediately. Because she's like, yeah, there's this party later. Not like, oh, there's a party going on this moment. Like, let's all run over there. It's not like, it would have made more sense if he, like, left with Natalie.
Yes.
If he, like, turned around and said, Natalie, hey, wait, I'll come with you.
And then she had a change of heart and ended up going to the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that would make more sense, but that's not what happened.
I mean, there were a couple of good jokes in the limo, so maybe that's why they had it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then she gets into a fight with the kid's parents. And, I don't know, tries to, you know, the kid tries to help her. It's weird that these parents are, like, supposed to be the responsible kids, but these kids are all drinking. This kid got, like... He ended up taking a pill, which I think ended up being, like, ibuprofen. But it's, like, these parents are here, and it's supposed to be presented as, like, this responsible, like, you know, these kids don't even party without their parents type of thing. It also seems like all the, like, everyone's a helicopter. But, like, also, like, sort of bad stuff was happening at the party. So it seemed like they should have, you know, it's only the parents were doing a good job of supervising until they thought she told a homophobic joke. It almost seems like the movie's trying to make the point that people, like, overreacting to this homophobia, but I don't think that's the point the movie's trying to make. I'm not sure what point it is trying to make. But, and then he decides that he's, like, again, now he's, like, it's just, like, scene to scene. He just, they bounce, like, it's like if you had, like, a, you know, like one of those, like, sort of Punnett square type things, you know?
Okay.
And you're just, like, constantly toggling, like, who wants to fuck who? Like, throughout this thing. It's, like, randomly toggling throughout every scene. Like, and it's just never the case that they both want to fuck each other at the same time. You know?
It's a real will they won't they, you know?
It, like, sort of is. You know? And then she decides not to because he says that he loves her. And that's, like, nice, I guess. He doesn't want her... She doesn't want him to catch feelings for her. And then, sort of ruin the whole thing. Get ruined by this. She doesn't want to, like, emotionally devastate him, which I guess is character growth on her part. But again, this is a child. Like, that's the other thing, is, like, it's not like she's learning to, like... Is the message supposed to be, like, she needs to learn to treat men better? Because that seems like a strange, like, angle for this movie to take. But I don't know. Because that is, like, the growth she experiences, is to, like, she... Because the problem with her is, like, not that she's negatively affected by having sex with random people, but that she's, like, negatively affecting these men who she has sex with and get attached to her. You know. Right? Like, is that what you were getting to?
Yeah.
So her growth is, like, learning to be nicer to the men that she has sex with? Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think her... She's viewing Percy as a person.
Right. But again, like... It's like an inappropriate relationship. You know? So... I don't know. And then...
Well, it's based in lies, so it doesn't make any sense. But... Like, just because she feels bad for him doesn't mean that she loves him. And she's known him for 4 days. Like, this doesn't seem like the kind of person... that would fall in love with a, you know, 19-year-old who has nothing in common with her all in a matter of a week. You know, this is her sworn enemy, you know, a vacationer of Montauk. So, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
A sworn enemy. And, like, then he says he doesn't want to go to Princeton. So the parents, like, call her up. And, like, try to trade that, try to say that, you know, they'll give her the car as long as she convinces him to go to Princeton, basically. But then, I guess he Bluetooth to the car or something.
Yeah, and he heard the part where she said, oh, so I don't have to fuck him anymore? I just have to convince him to go to Princeton?
Yeah.
So then the jig is up, and he knows.
Now he knows.
So now he plots a ruse of his own?
Yeah. Which is, like, a thing that he does. And he's very upset. I think reasonably. But then it's actually weird. He invites her over, right?
Yes. At the same time, he's just eating dinner with his parents.
Yeah. And when she shows up, right? She seems surprised.
Oh, because she wasn't expecting the parents to be there.
I mean, maybe, but, like, she's been to this house before. You know what I mean? She knows who it is. Like, and, I mean, I guess it makes sense for the parents to be surprised. I don't know if it makes sense for her to be surprised that the parents are at their house. That she knew was the house.
Yeah, maybe they, you know, missed a scene where he texted her to invite her over. They could have done one of those, you know, put some text bubbles on the screen.
But, like, I don't know. I think maybe the setup is supposed to be a little bit different. Like, was supposed to be a little bit different, and they just, they scrambled it, right? Because, like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense for them both to be surprised. It's, like, awkward that they're meeting, but it seems like it should be at a location that's not their house. You know what I mean? So, like, he invites her on a date and takes them out to dinner or something. It ends up being they're at the same spot, you know? Like, they should be at a thing and be like, oh, is it just three of you? And she's like, oh, no, we have a fourth joining us. And then she shows up. And it's like, oh shit, like, she didn't know they were all there. But having it set at their house makes it very strange that she's surprised. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm missing something.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, that's why this movie just has, like, a lot of little things that bother me or whatever.
Yeah.
And and then yeah, he's very, you know, he has a lot of bravado now, you know. I guess he's drank a lot of wine.
It gives him confidence. I mean, yeah. After drinking a little bit of wine, he got Natalie in bed in a matter of a minute and a half. So yeah.
This kid's actually surprisingly good with women.
It's his superpower. He just needs alcohol.
He says in 4 years we'll both be seniors. Like, he's funny. I don't know. He's a funny kid. And then his buddy comes over to destroy the guy. His buddy isn't also named Percy, right?
I don't think so.
That's not the kid who was in the bedroom at the house?
I don't remember that. This is the volunteer at the shelter.
Yeah, so, but when she's in the house, she like opens the first bedroom and just sees a kid sitting on the bed and says, like, your name's Percy. And I sort of thought it was the same kid, but I'm guessing, like, I think it's probably not. But I think it would have been funny if they were just both named Percy. And, you know, it was his only other friend, was also named Percy. But yeah, this is just the kid from the shelter. And they, like, fuck up the car during the dinner.
Yeah, he excuses himself from dinner to go destroy a car.
I don't know why his buddy even needs to be here to do it.
It's his only friend. His friend's just being supportive.
But it's just, like, weird to have his friend come over and, like, they just basically go hit the car with things together, and then I think, do they drive it into a tree or something?
Yeah, and then it falls over and smashes the car.
They smash it with a rock? Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it just doesn't seem like he needs the friend there. It's not, I guess it's nice. It does show that he had a friend this whole time, even though they, like, didn't believe it. Yeah, and then a tree falls on it, which I guess was, like, more than they expected to happen. You know? Then he comes back. I don't know how long that was all supposed to take. Because they, like, push... They seem to have to, like, push the car or something?
Yeah, it feels like 10 minutes.
Yeah, they're sitting at the table having their discussion. And then he goes up to his room. You see all his, like, gaming and anime things. And, like, then, yeah, is this when they have sex, like, right at the end?
I mean, they don't, but he still counts it.
Yeah, I mean, they intend to, right?
Yeah. I thought it was weird that she was wearing the bra in that scene.
Oh, yeah, that was really weird. Because she was naked early in this movie.
Yeah, naked on the beach.
Yeah.
In public. But then whenever it's actually time to sincerely, like, have sex with this kid, because at this point, like, she's no longer, you know, in the prostitution game. She just needs to convince him to go to Princeton. But maybe she's trying to do that with her body? Who knows?
This scene comes off as weird the other way, because she doesn't know that he knows at this point. So
yeah.
So he, like, sort of coerces her at this point. In a way, is like, you know, prove to me that you said you wanted to. You weren't lying, were you? And it's like, it gets weird from the other direction, where it's like he's coercing her into having sex with him in order to not betray his lie, like, the lie. You know, he's sort of, like, holding it over her head now.
But doesn't her willingness, like, prove that she cares about him?
I guess. And again, his parents are downstairs. It's, like, very bright out. He doesn't know what to do. And yeah, she takes off her, like, dress, but she's wearing her bra. It's weird because, like, you don't, like, see her chest. Like, they could frame it so you don't see her chest, but it is weird to, like, you basically just see the top of her bra for a lot of it. And then he basically, I think, comes on her thighs. Like, he doesn't actually penetrate her. So yeah, again, strange scene overall. He asked her if she came too, which is fun. And yeah, so I don't, did he wear a condom in this? I don't think he does, because I think she, like, cleans herself up with his plushie, his little lobster thing. So a lot of stuff going on in the scene. They're like, this scene is like 12 seconds long too. It goes very quick. And it's sort of weird that it wasn't it was in the, again, I don't think this, I think this whole thing shouldn't have been in the house. I think it should have been somewhere else. You know? I think it should have been
where,
like,
would it have been? The bar?
It should have been like maybe at like a hotel or something. And that he meets them all for dinner and then he takes her back up to a room or something. It's weird for it to be at the house with them. And then the friend could like take the car from the parking lot or something. Maybe like he gets his parents to drive the Buick there because he wants to like practice driving or something. So he drives.
Or maybe the friend shows up with the Buick. Like, hey, can you go over to my house, take the keys, here's the
code. Yeah, like,
code.
My parents are out of the... Yeah, it
feels... Meet me with the Buick at the hotel, we'll fuck it up and leave it on fire.
Yeah, like, I wonder if that was supposed to be the thing or something. You know?
Could have worked.
It's really weird for them, there's, like, awkward sex scene. In like, the daylight or something. And have it be like 2 seconds long. Like, because this is like the emotional climax of the movie. You know? And it's, yeah. And then they sort of discuss her daddy issues. Because she's mad that her parents are rich and, you know, he says she also has a rich parent. It's a very different scenario. It's one of those things where, like, neither of them is making good arguments here. Because, like, the thing is, he seems like he's kind of being a jerk here, but like you can never really be on her side because she did agree to sleep with him for money and like try to trick him constantly throughout this movie, put him in some like pretty uncomfortable situations, you know? Cause like, so she's like not the good guy here. You like kind of feel bad for her cause he's being an asshole, but like the stuff she did was way worse. You know? So it's like, it's hard to like get on board with anybody. Here. It feels like this is something where like you should like both of the characters, but I think they do a better job of you like making you not like both of the characters a lot of the time. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess at this point they're both just resolved to ending the relationship, grasping at straws.
Yeah, but like for us to care about the movie, we're supposed to like it. It also, they end up giving her the Buick afterwards, which I guess they can, because I guess they did have sex. And maybe he agreed to go back to Princeton, so she could. It's weird, she had an original car that just got taken because of the taxes. It's like weird that she would even need this other car. You know?
Well, she needs it to Uber. That's her source of income.
To get the other car back.
Yes.
But it seems like they, her car exists. So it seems like they could have just got, like, it could have been a scheme to get her old car back. But instead it was a scheme to get a complete new car. It would have made more sense if her car was, like, destroyed somehow. And she needed to get a new car. Rather than her car was just towed and she could have used money to get a car. Because it seems like at the end of this she might just have two cars.
Maybe they sold the first one that they, you know, repoed for tax purposes. So, that car is dead and gone.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, but do you understand what I mean, though?
That she's gonna have two cars?
It's not like I can't conceive of a situation where she only has one car. It's just weird that there's two cars, like... Usually in things, you want, like, a conservation of stuff, you know? So it's weird to have a second car, like, in the mix for some reason, when she had a first car. You know? I do think the scene with his parents are funny, when he's, like, talking about them being helicopter parents. I think that's well done. Another scene that's well done, you know? They're talking about basketball, you know? And she, the mom, you know, it's the mom who answers that he beat her. And then they sent the kid to military school and said it was always his dream. Like, I don't know. I think there's a lot of stuff in this movie that's super well done. You know? And then it's just like... It seems like they just shot a bunch of scenes and patched them together sort of randomly. You know?
It's not cohesive enough for you.
It bothers me. I mean, it's sort of like the anybody but you type thing. Well, like, there's a lot I like about it. And I just get bothered at, like, sort of the rough edges, you know? And then she still has a lot of past due bills we see. Even though she, I don't know, she has a lot of earnings. This is like a pro-Uber propaganda movie in some ways. Because it seems it seems like Uber like solves all her problems.
It really does. I mean, and she manages in short order, in like a minute montage,
yeah,
to make enough money to pay off all her stuff. And it's just like, that's not how Uber works.
And also it seems like her car is like actually really shitty for Ubering. Because it's like, you see people like not wanting to get into the car. It sort of seems like it doesn't even serve its purpose well, I guess because he destroyed it. But it does seem to work. It seems like there's just like, you know, there's like little joke scenes, but also like, you know, it's too short for one of the guys, and then it, whatever. But I don't know, it's like, there's a bunch of like, sort of weirdness around it. Where it never comes off quite like, like it makes a ton of sense. Yeah, she earns like $22,000 in what can't be more than the summer, right?
Correct, yeah.
So like,
not yet off to college.
She's making like, you know, $7,000 a month Ubering and also waitressing. But that's,
I mean, $7,000 to $10,000, sure.
But she's also waitressing like separately. Like, that seems to be her Uber. So like, it's weird to like, like, I don't know. Ubering just seems like the best job ever in this. And like, it's weird that she didn't have money for the car beforehand, because like, what did she spend it? Like, where did all her Uber profits from the previous time go?
I mean, I really think that's how seasonal tourism works. You know, they just make all their money in the summer, and then they're seasonally unemployed for the remaining, you know, 8 to 9 months.
I mean, I guess. And then, yeah, her friends are going to move to Florida. Right?
Yeah, because they can't afford Montauk anymore.
They can't afford Montauk, yeah. And they live with... And they weren't gifted a random free house. You know?
It's tough.
And then, you know, she starts asking questions to this guy she's sleeping with, and he doesn't like that. He's awkward about that. I guess she's changed. She wants to get to know these people. Again, I don't know if it's, like, inherently wrong that she doesn't, like, the movie seems to think it's wrong that she sleeps with these people without getting to know them. You know? But, I mean, is that what the movie's trying to say? Like, is that the point of view of the movie?
No, the movie's pretty pro-prostitute.
But I mean, that's sort of like a not modern stance, I feel like, is that it would be wrong for her, like, it's wrong for her to, like, just sort of casually sleep with these guys. But, like, the thing that she's doing that's, like, bad, I think, if you want to, like, sort of pass judgment on her, is that she's sort of being kind of, like, dismissive of these people's feelings. But, it, like, it, at some point, like, near the end, it's like this guy's just trying to have casual sex with her, and then she's, like, asking him a bunch of questions. And it seems like that's supposed to be growth. It's like, I guess maybe she's changed and she wants to do this, but, like, is that the growth she needed? I don't know.
I think so, to improve her relationship with men.
You know, she does eventually
get out of the prostitute game.
Oh, she goes and hugs the tow truck driver, I guess, and apologizes to him. But like, is that guy supposed to suck? Like, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know what the movie's point of view on any of these characters, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out.
I think the tow truck driver, the tow truck guy, he's just a normal dude. He was wronged by her. I mean, everyone.
He was wronged by her, you said.
Yeah.
It's also interesting in this movie that she appears to have like a weird spray tan the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then, yeah, she's selling the house, right? She's going to move. His friend at the, tries to go find him. And the guy at
Animal shelter.
Animal shelter, that's the one. Is like really defensive of him. So like, it seems like he did have a friend who was like a good friend to him.
Willing to destroy, you know,
the
car for him. Yeah.
And then the guy Jody comes back and like threatens her with raising her taxes. Right? And then she says, I sold the house. But, like, we already saw a scene earlier where she has a for sale sign. So, like, what is this scene for? It's, like, 30 seconds. It's not much. But it's, like, why the hell would this scene be in the movie? We learn no information.
No, I think you cut both Jody scenes.
Yeah, like, he doesn't need to be in at all.
Yeah.
Because we know she's selling the house. It turns out she doesn't sell the house, right?
Yeah, why did she contact Doug Kahn? Because you can sell the house to your friend without the need for a realtor.
Yeah. And if we had to put up a big for sale sign, yes. I assume that's to communicate to us, the audience, that she's selling the house. But if we had to put up a for sale sign and be like, no, I'm selling it to my friends. People are like, oh, well, but you put up the sign. Like, I called your realtor to set up an open house. You know, I did a whole showing on this. Like, why are you breaking my balls on this one? So, yeah, then she, like, crashes, like, another Princeton party, right? Is that the, And then she sees him. It's like a Princeton mixer, I guess.
Yeah, which is weird to have on Montauk.
I mean, like you said, maybe this is just where all the Princeton people are. You know, classic.
What is Princeton's enrollment? You know, I don't think it's that much.
I mean, it's fairly large, right? You can see if we throw a mixer on Montauk. I know, like, even my high school occasionally. I guess my high school does it with, like, multiple years, but they'll occasionally do, like, mixers and, like, alumni mixers in various cities. So, you know.
This says 9,000 as of a few years ago.
Is that just undergrad? So you got, you know, 2,500 a year or whatever. And then we get a scene with her on the hood of the car, right?
Yeah. Undergraduate enrollment, 6,000 in the fall of 2023.
Okay.
So 1,500 in a graduating class. How many do you need for a mixer? 30? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
30
could,
or 40
you
on Montauk.
You could conceivably have that on Montauk, I think.
I guess.
You know? And yeah, then they do the car thing again. Although now he's driving through the beach with people on it. Like, it's actually like not, like, this is absolutely insane. You know, he's like, I can't see, you're blocking me, but he doesn't just stop the car at any point. And she's on fire because they drive through a bomb. Like, this scene is just like unhinged. And he's driving a car that I don't think is the Tesla, right? Yeah, it's not a Tesla and it's not the Buick. So I guess he got his own car. They got him a different car instead that he drives into the ocean.
Yeah, Mazda, I don't know.
To toss her into the ocean also.
And drive over her.
Yeah, like, is she dead at this point? Yeah, like, his bumper is flying off. He goes and rescues her in the ocean. I know it would have been unreasonable if they were both naked in this scene, but it feels like that would have been, like, the Echo or something, if they could have had that come full circle. But yeah, then they just sort of make up on the beach, I guess. But, like, again, this is where the movie, like, adds another problem, is, like, these people can't be in a romantic relationship, and they're not really friends, you know? Like, they're kind of supposed to be friends at the end of the movie. But, like, I don't know, like, that doesn't make any sense, really.
No, you know? It doesn't. They're not compatible. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, also, she's, like, 32. I think she's moving to California, maybe? And he's going to Princeton?
Yeah, so I could get if the movie wants to, like, have her grow. But I think the culmination of her growth and her softening around the edges and maybe her relationship with men improving shouldn't culminate in, you know, a deep friendship with this kid who she, I don't know, went on a few dates with at the beginning of the summer and then just didn't speak to for the next 2 months as she was Ubering, you know, and I guess not whoring herself out for the rest of the summer, which is good. But that doesn't mean she's just like super good friends with this guy for life. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. You find out she's leaving and she's moving to California. It's weird. She just kind of wants to go be a surf bum in California. She mentioned that earlier, but like, I guess that is growth that she's able to leave this area, but it's not like growth in like that she's going to do anything in particular. She's just leaving her friends in her house and moving somewhere else.
Why wouldn't she have just let her friends move in? They could have helped pay the bills.
You know? I mean, you could have done any number of things, but it's just, I mean, she doesn't need to help pay the bills at this point, right? But, like, it's weird that she doesn't have any, like, external growth thing. It's only she's selling her house.
She's moving on from Montauk. You know, she's no longer waiting for her father to return.
Yeah. No, I guess. But, like, she's not going to do anything. No. She's just no longer in the place where she lived, where her friends live, and where her new friend sort of lives. You know?
Adam, maybe they're useless. You know, maybe everyone who surfs is useless.
Yeah, but, like, what is she... I don't know. What is she going to do, you know?
Take up space? I don't know.
I guess, you know?
And she's not a good person.
No, but you know? It's like she's not, like... But the movie made her up, so, like, what did they want her to be? I guess. I mean, she sells her friends her house at a loss, and then they still don't like her little mobile. I think the mobile's cool. I think, like, the... She made it.
I think it's fitting for who she is, and they just keep shitting on it.
And who they are. Like, they seem to be surfers, too, right?
Yeah.
So she made a thing, and she sold them a house at a discount, and yeah, just put it above your kid's bed. Don't be an asshole about it.
Unappreciative.
You know? Especially since she's moving away, and she's not going to be there to, like, check. You know, but they're like, oh, yeah, that's so nice. It's like, it is nice. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's a kid's mobile. Like, I don't know. The kid doesn't care. It has dangly stuff. Like, it's not like the kid has, like, a, you know? It's not like she made something inappropriate, you know? It's like she made a nice little thing. I don't know. I don't understand why they're acting like that. And then the kid moves to, he's going to Princeton. And he's going to drive by himself, I guess, right? Is the idea. Because his parents seem to be, like, freaking out. Although it isn't really helicoptering. I don't think it's really helicopter parenting to move your kid into college. And that's, like, a pretty standard thing that happens. You know? I guess he's, like, stepping back from them, but it's sort of weird that that's the part that's not happening. But, it makes sense, I guess.
Maybe it doesn't seem weird to us because we had lawnmower parents. So maybe moving your kid into college is a lawnmower parent move.
What's a lawnmower parent?
Someone who just clears the path for your kid.
Oh, really? I don't think I've ever heard that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think millennials as a generation had lawnmower parents.
That's not what lawnmowers do, though. That's like a snowplow.
I didn't coin the fucking term. I'm not a sociologist.
I actually don't ever heard this term. I think you maybe did coin the term.
I didn't coin this shit. Lawnmower parents. This is a thing.
You know? Because, okay, so then at the end... So the very last thing, right, is that she's going to drive him to Princeton, and she mentions her, like, new boyfriend, and he's like, and then she starts describing the boyfriend as a cop who had, like, addiction problems, right, and he's kind of concerned, but he's also just sort of upset when she has a boyfriend. Like, he clearly, it seems like he still has romantic feelings for her, and it turns out it's the dog from the first scene that she was going to adopt, because I don't know if we mentioned it, but he was, like, an ex- drug dog or whatever. And then she starts, they drive away. But it's like, what is this? What is their relationship at this point? Are they friends? Why are they friends? Why did she adopt this dog? Like, is she now well suited to a dog now that she doesn't have a home?
Now she's homeless? Yeah.
Yeah, she's homeless and jobless, moving to California to be a surf bum. And he's like, at the beginning, he's like, she was unqualified for a dog, but now she's qualified for a dog.
Did his friend, who was, you know, super anti-Maddie, relent and let her adopt the dog? Like, the last time she went in there, he was just like, you know, get the fuck out of here. You know, you fucked with my boy's heart, and I got my boy's back. So, you know, piss off. And then she apparently went in later and said, no, don't worry. I hopped on the hood of the car, and he drove me into the ocean, and we're all good now. And he's like, oh, okay, in that case, here you go. Here's this dog. You're homeless, right? Great. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, she's less suited for it. I guess
she did have some character growth in between there. So that's good, you know.
But she had, like, some, like, she's less able to, I don't know. And fuck if I know. I don't know. It just seems to make less sense.
Yeah.
Right? And then that's the movie. So, I don't know. What'd you think of this movie? Because I gave a lot of thoughts on this movie.
Yeah, you said compilation of good scenes. I mean, yeah, I think the two scenes are worth watching. I think the rest of the movie is not. So, you know. I think this is an overall nephew. I don't think I'd recommend
really?
That anyone see this movie.
Really? So, like, I don't know if I feel that, like, I think the scenes are generally well done. I think it's just, like, watching them in order that, like, it's less than the sum of its parts type of thing.
Yeah. You know,
like, I think even when they're at the ball, like, there's a few scenes where, like, the actors do the comedy well, I feel like.
I agree. Yeah.
It's just not clear why the scenes are in that order. And, like, how they feel. And it's just, like, again, there's the fundamental issue of her being a 30-year-old who's, like, the idea is to sleep with the... Like, I think it's sort of unhinged, right? Like, it's... At some point, the question, like, as you're writing this, right? The question is, okay, do these two people... Like, do they actually ever have sex? Right? Like, at some point, like, that question comes up. Like, that's a question you have to answer in the screenplay. And somehow they got to yes. Like, why?
Yeah, I guess they didn't need to.
Why doesn't he, like, after he convinces her, stop her and say, like, I know about the thing or whatever. I know about the deal.
Yeah, like, aha, gotcha.
Like, I can't believe you were going to do this for a car. You know what I mean? Instead, he, like, it becomes weird because he, like, coerces her into having sex with her. They have, like, it's a very awkward scene that, again, it's the middle of the day, she's wearing a bra, it's, like, the whole thing is strange. You know, it's just, like, the framing of it's strange, like, everything about this scene's strange. And then they basically have the same fallout. But now it's just creepy because, like, she kind of had sex with this 19-year-old that she was paid to do? Like, you know, like, why didn't she ever stop? Or why didn't he stop? Or, like, why didn't one of them stop it? Like, that would, like, to show some growth there, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
But I think it's an uncle. I think people should watch it. They should try to see if they can get the answers to these questions. I think it's generally... it's a good movie. Like, I think it's well done. Like, I think it's... I think both these actors are, like, really talented, and you can see why... You know, you can see, like, why they would make this movie. You know?
Yeah, I think it was cast well. I mean...
I don't know why it's called No Hard Feelings, honestly. But...
It wasn't personal.
It wasn't like anything, though. I don't know, it just seems like a weird name for it.
Yeah. I mean, it was amusing. I'll give it that. I don't regret having watched it, but I wouldn't recommend anyone watch it.
Yeah, I've seen it like three or four times at this point.
Just watch those two scenes.
And I've seen, you know, the Man-Eater scene 100 times at this point. And, yeah, I think it's, like, pretty good. But, like, I just, like, you just sort of sit there and you're like, what, this was... Like, there's some stuff that was just, like, I don't know, ill-conceived, you know? And you're just, like, give it a once-over. Like, even, like, some of the... I mentioned it, I think, I don't think we mentioned it when we were talking. But, like, some of my notes, like, some of the scenes individually are edited really strangely, too.
Just like, yeah, you mentioned that at the beginning.
Just, like, the moment-to-moment... Like, the editing of, like, the scenes in order is very strange. But also, like, the moment-to-moment editing is a little strange. Where, like, it seems like people are sort of, like, teleporting, and it's like hard to follow, like the conversations are like a little strange, just like who's talking to who. And like, it doesn't affect it that much, but it is kind of weird for a movie that's like a real movie, you know, with like these are like, you know, real actors and real directors. Like this is a $45 million, you know, comedy. It's like a mid-budget comedy. So I don't know. So yeah, I think people should watch it. I don't know, but I think that's all we got.
Yeah, what were the IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes on this one?
I think it was like 70 Rotten Tomatoes, you said? And 6.4 IMDb?
Yeah, so well-received.
I mean, yeah, I think like, not bad, right? Like, mixed audience, you know, audience is higher. It's not a movie that people didn't like, you know? And that's, like, even, like, you're always going to have a group of people who think, like, who have like issues with the premise, because the premise is sort of inherently just also inherently off-putting, you know, like just because of the age gap, right? So you're gonna have some people who just like won't like it because of that. So if you can, like, if you hear the premise still think it's worth watching, then watch it. Like, I think you're more likely to enjoy it than the ratings would suggest, you know, just because, like, if you can get past the off-putting part, you're in a better position than the average person, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I think that's all we got today, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, fue, fue, fue.